healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Hallelujah. Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 31. And then I want to use Psalms 20 as a backdrop. As a backdrop for our discussion today. Luke 15. Then I'll read a portion of Psalms 20. Hallelujah. I'm also glad to have my eldest sister in church this morning. She's doing significant things in the continent of Africa. God is enlarging her territory. So glad she could worship with us. I have to look at Facebook just to find out where she at. She everywhere. Hallelujah. Luke 15, verse 31 says this. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me." Here's the portion of the scripture I want us to focus on. "All that I have is yours. All that I have is yours." It was right that we should celebrate. Make merry, be glad. It was right that we should throw a party. Yes, it's fitting that we have a good time. It's good that we be excited. It's right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found, was lost and is found. Everything I have is yours. And it was right that we should celebrate, because your brother was dead and he was lost, but now he's found. Psalms 20. Psalms 20. If it's okay, I'm going to read this from the Message Bible, because I want you to get the meaning the way God gave it to me. The Message Bible says in verse 1, he says, I like King James. King James says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble." But the Message Bible says, it takes it up a notch. It says, "God answer you on the day you crash." God answer you on the day you crash. The name God of Jacob put you out of harm's reach. May he send reinforcements from Holy Hill and dispatch from Zion fresh supplies. May God answer you on the day you crash. The name, the God of Jacob, put you out of harm's reach. Send reinforcements from Holy Hill. Dispatch from Zion fresh supplies. Exclaim over your offerings. Celebrate your sacrifices. Give you what your heart desires and accomplish your plans. When you win, not if, oh come on church, not if, when you win, we plan to raise the roof. I just need a little bit of consensus in the room. When you win, we're going to raise the roof and lead the parade with our banners. May all your wishes come true. That clinches it, helps coming, and answers are on the way. Everything is going to work out. Everything is going to work out. I want to preach to you in the next 10, 15 minutes or so. I am lying. Ravens don't play at 8 o'clock. No. I want to preach to you from the subject, embracing abundance. Embracing abundance. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intent. For your word is described as quickening. It makes us come alive. It has a built-in defibrillator. When we thought we were dead, the word brings us back to life and resuscitates our spirit. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to separate our soul from our spirit so that you can get in and surgically figure out what the heart of the matter is and discern the intent of our heart. So, Father, we pray that you speak such a word and that it brings us to the place of being conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, and that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive your word and on our ears so that we can hear it. Father, the most important thing is that you get accomplished what you want to do. So use me this morning as nothing more as a tool and as a vessel to speak to your people. Let me be the echo of your voice. I thank you for what you're about to accomplish. And I praise you in advance for what you're about to do. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Come on, look at your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with, teeth included. Come on, show them everything. And say, we got to embrace abundance. We got to embrace abundance. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If you will, just give me a few moments to bring us to a moment of clarity so that we can understand in proper context what the text is trying to teach us. Y'all give me a little bit more volume, please, in my microphone. The reason why the Spirit of the Lord had me to choose to talk about the parable of the prodigal son is because there is rich, deep nuggets that we ought to extract from this narrative. It would seem that this story is simply about the usual known factors. It would seem that this narrative is about the forgiving grace of God and welcoming sinners back as a first sign of repentance. And that indeed is the greatest theme of the narrative, and it should be enjoyed and celebrated. But I have submitted unto you that this story goes deeper than we assume. And the reason why the story goes deeper than we assume is because of the contents of the story. To understand it, you have to understand how families worked back in that time, in that era. You had to understand that when a father would divide property between sons, then it would be an issue for the father because the father is still alive. In other words, the younger son comes to the father in the narrative and he says, give me my portion. The father does not give him his portion. He gives it to both of them. He gives it to the younger and to the older. I've submitted to you that in this narrative, for the sake of our discussion, that we ought not to think about this narrative as just three people, but we ought to think about this narrative as ourselves and our relationship with God. There is a younger part of you, and there is an older part of you, or there is a prodigal side of you, and there is a safe side of you. There is a side of you that wants to be fearless, but is reckless. Then there's a side of you that wants to be faithful, but is fruitless. And so in the narrative, what we had to discover is that you have to balance out those deals, those ideals within you so that you can be in proper alignment with the Father as your ultimate source. And because we spend a lot of time on the prodigal son and a whole lot of time beating up the son that stayed, I wish I had help. As we preach this thing, we miss the idea of the whole narrative. The idea of the whole narrative is not about the lost son. The idea is not about the son that stayed. The idea is about the father that remained constant through it all. The idea is that the father was just as excited to run after the son that was lost as he was as excited to run out of the party and go get the son that was upset about the party. The idea is that the father in the narrative is the constant source of trying to get us back into alignment with him and bring us back to the understanding that he has some stuff for us that we don't know nothing about. And we assume because we got our portion that we've been delivered our purpose, but God has a greater inheritance in store for you that he has not released to you yet. And so how families work back in this time, if a father would go ahead and divide the land or the property, and let's say, for instance, of the context of the story, that we know the prodigal son went and sold his portion off for cash because that's what he had to do to get his portion, because what the father had was land. And so he would have to take that land and sell it off for cash and then go to Vegas and get his party on. Y'all ain't said nothing. We know that he did that, But in the context of the story, in that time and in that era, this would cause the father great shame and great grief, because the whole town, the whole village, the whole area, the whole kibbutz, if it was a kibbutz, everybody that was there would talk about what was going on because they shared all their stuff. And so as a community and as a whole, he was the talk of the town that, oh God, did you see what John did? Did you see how his boy just dogged him out like that, and how he just left him hanging and took his stuff and rolled out? And the whole town is talking about what's going on in the house. Everybody's got a criticism. Everybody's got a comment. And the father gives the son the portions, both of them, without any type of recrimination, without any type of accusation, without any type of instruction. He just said, here you go. And when the son goes off and he thinks his son is dead because now a famine strikes where he is, and because of the famine, he runs out of his cash and has to take a job of a farmhand and helping out a farmer who has pigs, and Jews and pigs don't mix. So now he's in the pigsty because he wanted to be fearless, but what he was really reckless. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a difference between being fearless and reckless. Oh, come on, let's talk about it. It is often in the body of Christ that we say we're being full of faith when we're just being downright reckless, when we're not giving the word of God any regard to our decisions, and we're making decisions based primarily on emotion instead of doing it based on knowledge. This is why the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And may I suggest to you that the lack of knowledge that destroys you is not the knowledge that you don't know, it's the knowledge that you do know. What's really getting in the way of you is you think you know everything. Oh, slap your neighbor and say, he's going to come right down your road. You think you know how the story's going to turn out. You think you know how it's going to end up. You think you know how it's, oh, look at your name and say, you don't know yet. You don't know. You don't know. And part of what trips us up is we want all the answers and all the information before we take the movement. And then when we do take the movement, we want to do it based on the knowledge that we're comfortable with. Because I need to submit to you that there is some knowledge that you know not of, that you don't understand yet, that is going to come into your life and into your heart. But if you're not open to the new knowledge, then it does not matter. So in order to be open to the new knowledge, you have to unlearn some stuff so that you can be open to something that's new. The prodigal, the lost son, the wasteful son was really not open to hearing any type of wisdom. He just wanted his stuff. And there is a problem with that is replete with within the body of Christ, that we just want our stuff. And when we go to services and we shout about it and we sing about it and we run over it and we clap about it and we're walking around saying, God, where's my stuff? And when God doesn't give us our stuff, y'all don't hear me, and give us our stuff, or when we're bad stewards over our stuff, when we made some mistakes with our stuff, when we've mismanaged our stuff, we have the audacity to get mad with God. I'm going somewhere with all this, but I got to lay the foundation for you. And the son, the younger son, gets an epiphany all by himself and comes to himself and says, wait a second, I've been doing better. In the service of my father's house was doing better than I'm doing. I got to get myself up. And he chooses to pick himself up and to walk back. Watch me now. And to walk back to the father in his filthy, dirt-filled, mud-filled rags of what he was living in, and go back home, and he has to endure the criticism of all the haters and the folk that said he wasn't nothing as he's coming back. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. And this is something that every Christian and every believer is going to have to face, that when you mess it up, come on here, somebody, you're just glad to get back to the Father. You don't quite care what anybody really thinks about you at this point, because you've hit your lowest low. And when you hit your lowest low, you come back to the Father without demands. Oh, God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You come back without demands because you're just grateful to be back. When you realize what the Lord has really done for you, you stop making these demands. You stop making these demands on God that if you, and giving him these ultimatums that if you don't do this, then I won't do that. God says, listen, I am God alone, and beside me, there is no other. So your prayers can't change God's mind. Y'all not in here with me. You can't manipulate him into doing something for you. He wants to do it because he loves you, and he wants to do it because he purposed to do it in the first place. He just got some stuff for you that you're not ready for, that you have to grow into. That's why he gave you the portion, you don't hear what I'm saying, in the first place, so that you can have something to play with. So that you can learn how to mess it up. So that you can fail. Oh, it got real quiet in here. The issue was not that his son would go fail. The issue was that the father found him. You don't hear what I'm saying. He thought he was lost. He thought he was dead. He thought he could not come back. He thought it was, oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. He thought it was over. You don't hear me. The father got excited because the lost son was found. Do you hear what I'm saying? And that's why he was excited. He was not upset that he failed. He was excited that he was found. He was not upset that he failed. He was excited that he was found. He was not angry that he failed. He was excited that he was found. I hope y'all don't sit on Dr. Jazz like you're trying to sit on me right now. He was excited. Oh God, I wish I had a church. He was excited that the boy was found. You don't hear me. That a part of you that tried to be fearless but winded up being reckless decided to come back to the source and stop trying to do it yourself and came to your senses and said, God, if you don't do it, I'm not going to be able to get it done. So I will risk criticism to come back to you because I realize I can't do it on my own. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm telling the truth. I can't do it by myself. I tried and it didn't work out. I tried to do me and me got me messed up. Oh, y'all gonna sit on this thing and miss your word from God. Doing me got me messed up. I'm gonna do me. You do you because I'm gonna do me. And doing me got me messed up. Put me in a pigsty, put me in a horrible pit, put me in a bad place. But the Father, oh God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. But the Father knew it. You don't hear me. And the only thing he was concerned with was that I would be lost completely. But when I was found, he threw me a party. And he threw me a party covered in dirt. I wasn't even clean. Oh God, I'm preaching. When he threw me the party, I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. He loved me while I was still a sinner. Oh God, come on, let's have church. He loved me while I was still a sinner and threw me a party anyway. The problem with you embracing abundance is that you haven't embraced the part of the Father that celebrates your mess. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Because you think the Father has to bless you for you to have everything. In order to bless you, you have to have everything perfect and everything together. Your perfectionism is the thing that's stopping your progress. Oh, I'm gonna tear it up. Because when you've been in the pigsty, you ain't got no time to be perfect. You're just trying to get back to the Father however you can get back. If I got to limp back, if I got to crawl back, I'm just trying to get back. I don't have time to try to be perfect. It amazes me that even right now, you're just trying to be perfect. You're trying to be a perfect person in the pew. Amen, Pastor. But when you are expecting God to do some things in your life, you don't have time to be cute. And I thought I came into a room full of people who were believing God for some stuff that ain't got time to be cute. I ain't got no time to be cute. I ain't got no time to impress you. I got some vision on the line. I got some dreams on the line. I got some stuff on the line. I ain't got time to be worried about how you feel about my praise at this moment. I gotta hurry up. See. He comes back to the Father, and the Father runs out to him and covers him with a robe while he's in his filthy rags and gives him his signet ring to give him authority and power so that anybody who has something to say knows that he got his Father's ring on and there's nothing they can say about it. Look at your neighbor real quick and say, this next blessing that's coming my way. Come on, look at him. This next blessing that's coming my way, it ain't nothing you can do about it. I just want to find some folk that understand what I'm talking about up in here. I just want to find a couple people that believe what I'm saying. Ain't nothing. You ain't got to like me. It's going to happen anyway. You ain't got to think I deserve it. It's coming anyway.
I hear you, Holy Ghost.
We can't embrace abundance. Don't worry, I'll get to abundance in a second. We can't embrace abundance because we don't understand that God is not moved by our mess. Quite the contrary, he's moved toward it because it gives him something true to work with. This is the problem in the text, because Jesus is addressing Pharisees, religious individuals who believe they've done nothing wrong. They They're sitting there holding their noses up, saying, we've done nothing wrong. We've been faithful, but you're fruitless. I'm going to get to some stuff here in a second. I'm coming right down your row. I just want to address the reckless people first, because you have to stop being reckless. There's nothing wrong with being fearless, but you got to learn not to be reckless. Being reckless is trying to be promoted to your next level of incompetence, to something that you're not ready for. And God will withhold it from you until you learn how to walk in it. Some things you got to learn how to walk in. You don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, God, I'm preaching better than y'all. Slap your name and say, learn how to walk in it first. Learn how to walk in it. And when you learn how to walk with it, you're going to fall. I've never met a baby who was learning to walk that started to fall and then got up and said, this walking thing ain't for me. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. No, it's the falling that teaches them how to stabilize so they don't fall again. And every time they fall, their muscle memory triggers their mind, and their mind counters the fall. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You're so worried about the fall, and you're so worried about the failure, that you don't understand that's designed as feedback. So in actuality, in the Father's mind, there's no such thing as failure. It's just feedback. Oh, don't trust those people. Oh, don't go over there. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, I do have to tithe. Oh, don't. No, I'm not going to blow my voice out to impress you. I ain't doing it. Get this word into your spirit. You're too reckless. You're too reckless. Yeah, you don't hear what I'm saying. You're too reckless. And you'll get reckless when you decide to leave the Father. When you think you can do it without him, you are on a crash collision course. The moment you start thinking you can make it without him, and it shows up every time as soon as somebody get promoted. Oh, I'm going to stay here for just for 2 more minutes. Let me stay here. Soon as God bless you with the thing you're praying for, everything that you used to do to get to the place, you have abandoned completely, because now your focus is on the place. And all you keep trying to do is maintain where you are, because you're just so happy to be there. So you got the job. You got the marriage. You don't hear what I'm saying. And didn't recognize that all those things got to be built. Oh, I'm preaching better, y'all. So you was happy on Wednesday, but Wednesday is not a marriage. Oh, God, I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout. So you prayed for the day. The day showed up. You prayed for the day. The day showed up, but then you did not plan for the marriage. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all. Shout. Slap your name and say, reckless, reckless, reckless. It's got to be built. You have to build a wedding into a marriage. Oh, I'm preaching, man. You have to build an idea into a business. It has to be built. And to be built, you have to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. And then he'll show you how to walk it out. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm not going to be reckless no more. I'm not going to be reckless. I'm not just going to detach myself from the vine. I'm not just going to disconnect from my source. It's God that got me in the spot that I am right now. I'm not going to stop praising him now. I'm not going to stop praying now. I'm not going to stop sowing now. I'm not going to stop forgiving now. I'm not going to stop loving now. Now let's go to the other side. Because God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he did give you fear to teach you how to run. Okay, I can't get up with him. You'll get it. You'll get it later. You'll get it later. Because that's why, okay, I said it on Wednesday. That's why you run with a stick.
In case somebody's dog get out, there you are. And the reason you do that is because you saw it or you heard it, so you had an expectation for it. So it's amazing that you will plan for something you fear, but not plan for something God said. Let that sit and marinate in your spirit. Let's leave that over there. The other side of the equation, because we can't leave the story half done, is the brother that stayed. The side of you that's faithful. It's not reckless, it's faithful. You come to church, you pay your tithes.
I pay my tithes. I should not be going through all of this right now. I'm a tither and I'm a giver.
You do your best to serve. You love people sometimes. So be honest, man. Be honest. You love people sometimes. And sometimes they are in your life for you to learn patience. Y'all so phony. You're faithful. You haven't left the Father. You haven't left him, but you haven't done anything either. And you think coming gives you a badge of honor. The command was never come, it was go. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. I hope y'all still love me later. Come on, give me 10 minutes, I'll set you free. Watch this. He stayed. And when the other part of him shows up, when the reckless part of him shows up, when everybody finds out that there was a part of you that was reckless, when people learn your story, when they find out that you had some pigsty in your life, you get angry with the Father. Because why are you throwing a party for my pigsty when I've been faithfully coming? You don't hear me. You don't hear me. And the Father says to the Son, everything I have is yours. It's all yours. He says, but, you sitting outside this party pouting because you're being faithful, but I need you to be fruitful. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, I cut off. And every branch that bears fruit, I cut. So either way, you're getting cut. So you might as well be fruitful. Oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. And the reason why you're faithful and not fruitful is because it's easy to come, but it's hard to go. Because if I go, somebody gonna find out about my pigsty story. Oh, and I'm too busy looking good and being blessed for somebody to realize I used to be a mess. But baby, can I tell you, if you would talk about your mess, your blessing would increase. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting in here. You're so busy trying to cover it up. You're using the leaves and it's blocking the fruit. This is the problem in the text. The Pharisees are using their religion as a masquerade for what Jesus is trying to get to, which is the people who are in pain. And you're so busy trying to be faithful, my God, that you're using your faithfulness as insignificant leaves that's not bear no fruit. So you're the fig tree that he cursed. You're pretty, but ain't nothing on you. I'm preaching way better than your shout. And the church has been too pretty, but it ain't produced nothing. We got to get back to the raw power of the true and... Slap your name and say, it's just a seed. It's just a seed. It's just a seed. I'm just putting a seed in you. Come on, I got 8 minutes. I got 8 minutes. So he says to his son, everything I have is yours. And you ain't doing nothing with it. You ain't asked me for nothing. You stop asking. You stop asking because of the pigsty. You stop asking because you were reckless at a point in time in your life. And now you're just safe and happy to be. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting here. You stop asking because you messed it up and it went wrong. You stop asking because the marriage landed you into divorce. And so you stop asking. You stop asking because the business resulted in bankruptcy. So you stop asking. You stop asking because you started walking and fell on your face. So you stop asking. You stop asking because you had a sickness that lasted a little bit too longer than what you thought you could endure. So you stop asking. Slap your name and say, you stop asking. You stop asking. You stop asking. And when you stop asking, you stop praying. And when you stop praying, you stop praising. And when you stop praising, his presence did not show up. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you better start asking God for some stuff. You better sit right here right now and open your mouth and say, God, I'm going to start asking. You have not because you ask not. You stop asking. You got faithful, but you're not fruitful. You come in the church. How's that church today? So what? Whoop-de-doo. What'd you get? You don't hear what I'm saying. Stop coming for a good time. You can go to brunch and get that. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. I can go to brunch. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. Sip on a mimosa. Huh? Look at you like, oh, Lord Jesus. You do it. Be quiet. You can do many things to enjoy your day. Why are you here? Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Slap your name and say, I came for something. I came. Oh, God, who am I talking to? I came for a deposit. I came for power. I came for an encounter. I came for something. When God comes into an atmosphere and there's no expectation, he leaves. He leaves. And he'll tell you, all right, what you want? You want a promise? I'll get that to you, but I ain't going with you. He leaves. When you stop asking, you stop praying. And when you stop praying, you stop praising. And when you stop praising, his presence left. And that's why you're outside of the party. Pouting because his presence is not there. But the Father loves you so much, he left the party. Oh, God, to come tell you everything I got is yours. All you got to do is ask for. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, all you got to do is ask for. Oh, I wish I had a church in here. Look at him and say, all you got to do is ask for. All you got to do is ask for. Because it's in the asking that's going to, watch me now, it's in the asking that's going to prepare you for expectation. And in order for you to embrace the abundance of the Father, you have to understand he got so much that he can give you something that he can afford for you to lose. Am I talking to anybody in this room? So when the son, who wasn't ready, said, give me my portion, the father said, no problem. And he gave it to both of them. Read the text. The other son got it too. He just ain't do nothing with his. because he's too busy being faithful. Oh, God, I'm preaching that shot. And not being, look at your neighbor and say, what you're holding on to that God tells you to let go of? What dream are you holding on to that you... Are you that beat down that the possibility of winning never entered into your mind? Oh, God, I feel it in my spirit. And I think I'm in a room full of people who are so beat down that the possibility of winning is not even factored into your equation. Look at your neighbor and say, when you win. Not if, when. We're going to throw a party that's going to raise the roof. Not if. Oh, who am I don't have to talk to everybody. I just need to talk to somebody that's ready to win. Not if, when. Sit. The backdrop of this story is Psalms 20. You can stand, you can sit, do whatever you want to do. I'm done. The backdrop of this story is Psalms 20. And in Psalms 20, they're praying for deliverance. They're praying for, it's David praying again. See, there's a period of time in your life when you stop praying. You ain't praying, you begging. Prayer is active. Prayer brings, watch me now, expectation. It moves you. Oh, God, I'm preaching away, man. So when you start praying, you start moving toward the answer. And the answer starts moving toward you. You don't hear me. Hey, watch this. David is starting to pray again. So he prays, listen to me, and says, when you crash, in other words, he's now come to the place of understanding that there's going to be some crashes. There's going to be some pigsties. There's going to be some pitfalls. There's going to be some things that don't go right. There's going to be some things that I hold on to for too long and make me faithful, but with no fruit. No fruit. Aren't you tired of being busy and not effective? Aren't you tired of looking up going, where did the day go, and you can't account for what happened in the day? I'm talking to somebody and you sit here like I ain't talking to you. I'm talking smack to you. Lay your pride down. Take off your insignificant leaves. For you to know it all, your life don't look like it. Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Who am I talking to? Where's the fruit? Miss Blessed and Highly Favored? What's the fruit? You're covered in fruitless leaves when the Father has already covered you, but you got familiar, wow, God, with you being bare and exposed that you covered yourself. Who told you you were naked? See, when you come to grips with your pigsty, some people can't handle their mess. So they become faithful and not fruitful. Oh, I'm preaching up in here. I'm going to give myself a high five. Hold on for a second. That's just for me. Watch this. And David, the backdrop, I use Psalms 20 as the backdrop because David started praying again. And in his prayer, He says, from the Message Bible version, when you crash, God, when you crash, God is going to move you out of harm's way. Oh, hold on. No. When it goes bad, he'll move you out of harm's way. So he's coming back to this fearless place. Oh, God, I'm preaching. That's going to produce fruit. And expectation and anticipation is rising on the inside of his prayer. And with every stanza, his prayer increases as another level of expectation. Oh God, who am I talking to in this room? And he opens up and says, when you crash, watch me now, the Lord will remove you out of harm's way. And then he says something powerful. He says, I pray that the Lord, watch me now, will send you help from Zion. Ah, God, look at your name and say, it's already here. Uh-huh. Oh, God. He said it in the King James Version. He said it's going to show up when you're coming to the tabernacle. You don't hear what I'm saying. Look at your name and say, it's already here. The help that you're looking for, God put in this place when you decided to get out of bed, put your clothes on, and come to the house of the Lord. Watch this. Watch this. I'm not trying to. I got to get you here. Watch this. He says, you don't have to sit down. Don't do it. Don't sit down because I'll keep talking if you do. Stand up. I just want to make sure I'm saying it right. He says, I'm going to send you reinforcements from my holy hill. I'm going to dispatch from Zion fresh supplies. Look at your name and say, get ready for fresh supplies. You can act like you don't need this word, but if you are depleted of resources and you need some fresh supplies, if I were you, I would go, thank you, Jesus. He talking to me. I need some fresh supplies. I need some help. I need some inventory. I need some people to be added to my plan. I need some fresh supplies. Said, I pray God gives you your heart's desire and accomplish your plans. When you win. When you win. When you win. God, you know, God, when you end. When you win and come and tell us about it, we're going to raise the roof. Abundance has to be embraced. It has to be embraced. It has to be embraced. I wrote this morning, and this is the reason why I wrote it, because God dropped it on my spirit. Come on, stand on your feet all over. I'm done. I ain't hooping you. I ain't hyping you. Oh, I know it's a good word. I already know what it is. I just preached my face off up here. If you don't prepare for abundance, it's not going to happen. If I preached Psalms 20 all by myself, I would tell you about how the enemy was shining their chariots in the text. Read it. Get Psalms 20 up there for me. It says the enemy is shining his chariots. In other words, they're shining the chariots like they already won. That's why the story says when you win. Because in order for you to win doesn't mean somebody has to lose. You are not in competition with nobody. You're in competition with yourself. The lost part of you that comes back to the Father and has to integrate, and the faithful part of you that's not fruitful that has to come back to the Father and integrate and live together in the same space with the knowledge of who you really are. Oh, I'm preaching mad at y'all, shout out. And that's why I go silent in the room, because you can be fake in here, but you can't be fake with the Father. He knows who you really are. And so David says, some trust in chariots,
summon horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I have to stop thinking I'm going to get victory because I got some stuff. God is my source. So I wrote this morning. I didn't commit it to memory. So if you don't prepare for abundance, then it's not going to happen. Expectation is the fruit of preparation. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You got to prepare for it. So some of y'all were stony ground and wayside soil. But I was a scatterer today. I scatter seed everywhere. And the reason I scatter seed is because today is the seed, but this afternoon is the harvest. You got to start praying again. And when you start praying, you got to start praising again. I know you suffer some stuff. I'm not trying to marginalize what you've gone through. Your pigsties are funny. Pain is pervasive. It paralyzes you in a way that it distorts time. You don't realize it's been 5 years. I'm talking to somebody. And you've been carrying that thing for that long. You don't recognize that God has been trying to tell you that you're about to win. And you're not even preparing for it. You're prepping to lose because you let the pain beat you down so much that winning never came into your mind. My prayer for you today is that you realize you're about to win. You're about to win. You're about to win. Whenever God is about to do something significant in this church, I mean really spiritually significant, truly life-changing, we always have flat church services. Flat meaning y'all just sit there, don't say nothing. Regardless of what's being spoken or what's being said, what's being sung, what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to say, just flat. This lets me know that we're in the right place at the right time. Listen to me. I'm not trying to hype you. I'm not trying to get an emotional response. You have to embrace what's coming next. And here's the beauty and the freedom. You get to choose what comes next. You don't hear what I'm saying? You get to choose what comes next. It's your choice. It's your choice. And God is saying to you, if you can hear the words, everything I have is yours. You just stop asking. You just stop praying. You stop believing. You stop praising. And you started to try to maintain. Yeah, maintenance is expensive. It's expensive. I want you to grab that hand of the person next to you. Come on. Somebody need to hear this word. Grab that hand. Corporately, God is saying some things to us today. We're going to win. We're going to win. Guys, we got work to do. Come on, we got work to do. God has given us a gospel that can become the ecosystem of a city. If we implement it as a church, and if we open ourselves to something new. A different way of doing it. A new way of being. A different approach. If we can get over our own mess and be willing and vulnerable enough and open enough to share our stories and to go and minister to people who need it the most. And I'm not just talking about homeless people or poor people or, no. I'm talking about lost people. And business people are lost. Rich people are lost. Poor people are lost. I'm talking about people who need the Lord, regardless of their strata. And God is asking us to embrace abundance. Not just financial possession. It's not what I'm simply talking about. You hear abundance and you think money. If money was your problem, if money really was your problem, you would be doing whatever you need to do to get it. Money's not your problem. Money's not your problem. Mission is your problem. Mission. You haven't embraced abundance. You haven't embraced the fact that God picked you. And all your mess. And all your crazy. Because he wants to use your crazy for his glory. And you sitting there going, no, do somebody else. No, I don't want. And he like, everything I have is yours. And when you stop realizing that, you let life beat you down so much that you stop praying, you stop praising, and when you stop doing those things, his presence leaves. And when his presence leaves, you're like a dry branch that falls off the vine that anybody can pick up and do anything with. I'm preaching way better than y'all, Sean. Corporately, we're going to win. The corporate anointing that governs this house impacts your individual anointing. So what God wants to do corporately, he wants to do individually. So if we're going to win corporately, that means you got to adopt a mindset at home that says, I'm going to win. My kids going to win. Everything attached to me wins. Oh, hallelujah. And that's the mindset that you need to leave this place with and get ready for. Because we're entering into a season of abundance. God told me this. I know you're holding a hand and that makes you uncomfortable. Do it anyway. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and to have it not abundantly, more abundantly. So when I embrace abundance, I have to embrace the more. And that's what I'm saying. God has more. This ain't it. This ain't it. And I want you to embrace it. And I want you to fully integrate today with the Father. The messed up part of you, the faithful part of you, coming together to be fearless but fruitful. Oh God, fearless but fruitful. Not reckless and faithful, but fearless and fruitful. Father, I thank you for the word that you have declared over us this morning. You didn't bring us into this room to be entertained, but you brought us here to deposit a seed. Father, I've done what you've asked me to do. Now send the rain by your spirit to water this ground and produce a harvest, the likes of which we have never seen. Let ideas be brought forth, concepts be brought forth, witty inventions, visions, and dreams. Let them be actualized. Let them be realized. Let them unfold. Let ministries be birthed this day. Anointings increase this day. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do, because in the end,
when we win, we're going to give you the glory and we're going to raise the roof. We thank you, Father, that we leave this place winners because we've embraced abundance. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, lift those hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you and his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. All my leaders, everybody, elders, visitors, please make your way to the gym. Again, everybody is welcome to join us at 3 o'clock for prayer. And I pray I see you all. God bless you.